is that we are doing starting today, and Pastor Lance has already let you know, it's called Say Yes. And just to guys let you know, we don't have these orange shirts on just because we're Tennessee fans. Amen. Someone said amen. It's actually a thought process. When you see the color orange at this church, there's something that you should know, and hopefully you won't forget, that orange, as we say here in the South, orange, it is a combination of two other colors. It's a combination of red and yellow. And actually, our children's ministry curriculum is called Orange, because orange takes not just a church, but it also incorporates the family when we do ministry. And when God is doing something in our lives, it's not just you as an individual or your family, but oftentimes He combines what the church is doing and we work together. And that's why we have the color orange. And we are beginning this new series of messages, and you can actually turn in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 1, or if you've got a phone like Pastor Lance was talking about, you can go ahead and keep that out. There may be some things you want to maybe take some notes today, or something you may just find extremely interesting. And while you're doing that, I've got a couple of other announcements for you. If you are new to church or new to Bethel, and today may be your first time or second time, and you've never met Pastor Lance or myself, we have this thing called First Step. And it's right after this service in our cafe area. We would love to meet you. If you have any questions about Bethel, or we would just love to spend a few moments meeting you and your family, we would invite you to that right after the service. Also, if you have never joined us for Starting Point, we are having an orientation for Starting Point today at 12:30, which is after the service, over at Lassiter's Coffee and Tea, which is across the street from us. We say here at Bethel that your journey begins at Starting Point. That's the place where you find out, what does Bethel believe? That's sort of an important question. If you attend a church, what do they believe? How can I get connected? What are some things I can do at this place called Bethel? Starting Point would be the place for you, and you can attend the orientation, which is very short. The orientation is only about 20 or 30 minutes, and that's over at Lassiter's. So while you still have your phone out, there is something that a lot of us like to do on social media. If you do use social media, we like to stroll through the pictures. And there's something that, there's this phenomenon that happens in social media. People will put the best pictures they have ever taken on social media. Nobody ever puts the pictures of the kids crying with throw up all over them. Nobody, when's the last time you saw a video of kids screaming like wild banshees on social media? No, you get the doctored up, filtered photographs that make you look like $1 million. Matter of fact, in a few days, my wife and I, we're going to put a picture on social media. It's going to be this picture of me and my wife. Now, our anniversary is coming up on February the 9th, 10 years of marriage. Don't clap for me. She's done most of the work. And so this is during our, or right after, before our wedding. I think it was right before our wedding. We took all these great pictures. Now, this is a picture of us at our best. This is me gazing into the eyes of my new bride. And if people saw this on social media, like, man, they got it all together. They would think, man, if we could only be like them. They're like Will and Jada. See, when we see pictures of our wedding, we're like, yeah, we got it going on. And you would think just by these pictures that we would have no problems. You see us side by side. Sometimes me and my wife, we look at each other. They're like, see, we got that pose. She got the white dress on. That's us. But if you just look at the pictures, you would not get the whole story, would you? See, behind people's smiling, beautiful pictures on Facebook, there's often another story that's not told. See, before my wife said yes to the dress, she said no. And then the first time we had a conversation about marriage, she said no. A few months later, we had another conversation about marriage. And she said no again. And after some persuading and some time went by, eventually she said yes to the dress. She said yes to me. And five kids later, we have a whole family to prove that she said yes. And yes, if you're wondering, I take care of all my kids. Those are all my babies. Thank you for that laugh. I appreciate that. Sometimes it helps when you laugh and you say amen. You know, in reality, all of us sometimes hesitate before we say yes to things, especially when it comes to serving God. We're going to talk today about what it means to be actively involved in engaging the local church by serving. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about saying yes to God in different ways, saying yes to surrender, saying yes to one of the hardest things within the human race is saying yes to forgiveness. And we're going to say yes to freedom as well. Many of you guys in here that call on the name of Jesus as your Lord and Savior, before you said yes to Him, you said no to Him. Many of you probably heard the gospel, maybe growing up or an invitation to serve Christ, and you said no. You looked at the truth of the Word of God and still you said no. And then many of you said no again. If you're like me, you heard it multiple times. And you said no before you eventually said yes. See, that's a classic flaw of ours as a human race. A lot of times we don't say no when we don't say yes when we should say it. And we're going to talk about a guy today who hesitated before he said yes. It's this guy named Jeremiah. We're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 1. So this guy named Jeremiah, all through theological circles, he's known as the weeping prophet. For decades and decades, he had an assignment from God. His job was to share with the nation of Israel that doom and destruction was headed their way. Now, how many of you want to sign up for that? When's the last time you peeped over the cubicle and said, hey, doom and destruction are heading your way? See, nobody wants a job like that. It's actually probably one of the saddest cases of a prophet in the Bible. For decades and decades, no one listened to him. Everybody was doing the wrong thing. Everybody was disobeying God. Everybody was far away from God. And he was the lone wolf crying out, turn to God, give up your evil ways. And no one for decades would listen to him. Think about how lonely that must have been. See, and there are no accolades for him. There were no that-a-boys. There were nobody saying, you know, good job, champ. You're preaching strong. No, everybody wanted him to stop. And sometimes serving God can be a lonely place. Can somebody say amen? Sometimes doing what God has called you to do doesn't benefit you or give you any public accolades. Sometimes serving God doesn't get you plaques with your name on it. Sometimes when you're serving God, nobody even recognizes what you're doing. We're going to be talking about that today. Let's look in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 7. We're going to look at how Jeremiah received his call from God to do all the things that he did for God. It says in verse 1, this is Jeremiah writing this about himself. He said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Aren't you glad that God knows us even in our mama's belly? He said, before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, this is a huge job description. He just said, I have appointed you to be my mouthpiece to a whole entire nation. And this is the response that he gives us, or he gives God. He says, alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. The reason why I focused on Jeremiah, because sometimes we think serving has a great reward. We could have easily talked about Moses and how Moses, he delivered millions of people out of bondage. I'm sure there was a big party when they got on the other side of that sea and they realized freedom had come. This man obeyed God, and look at the benefits. Everybody's shouting for God. Everybody's rejoicing. Or we could have talked about Abraham. Abraham obeyed God. And as a result of his obedience, God said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. We could have focused on that, but then you may get the wrong impression. Some people will serve for the wrong motivation, thinking that if I do all this stuff for God, there's got to be something in it for me. If I do this for God, then surely it's going to pay off. Surely if I do something great for God, he hears me a little bit closer than he does those sinners who don't even pay attention to his word. Now, of course, you guys wouldn't think that, would you? Because you're Bethel. But for many people, they think that there's some reward in doing what God has called us to do. But the thing we see in Jeremiah is we realize there's nothing big and public and a display or a reward that you would get simply by obeying what God is asking you to do. And by the way, if you didn't know, God is asking each and every one of us to do something. What he's asking you to do might look different than someone else, but believe it, he is asking you. He might even ask you today. Look at your neighbor and say, he might ask you today. And just like Jeremiah, some of us will hesitate. We'll start to think about all the reasons why we can't serve. It's like Jeremiah, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too married, I'm too single, got too much money, don't have any money, I got to work too much, I don't have a job at all. Too hot, it's too cold, got vacation, working all the time. We will come up with something to justify not doing the thing that God is asking us to do. And here's what I came down to a conclusion. The reason why we have to say yes to God is not because of all the stuff that we get, but it's simply because there's four things. He is worthy to be served. Very simple, isn't it? We serve him because he is worthy to be served. We say yes to God because he is worth our time. Serving God is worth us taking time out of everything else to serve him. He is worth my energy. How many of you guys are tired? How many of you are sick and tired? That's real bad when you're sick and tired. Sometimes you will be asked by God to do things even when you feel tired. Sometimes you won't feel like doing it, and God still asks anyway. It's almost like, God, don't you see I just worked 60 hours this week? Why are you asking me to do this? But he will give you the energy when he calls you to do something. Here's another little thought, that when God asks you to do something, he will give you what you need to do it. Right? It's not like he's going to ask you to do something, then there's no possible way you can do it. Also, he is worth using your gifts and your talents to serve him. Now, one of the things that you probably noticed today is all these different orange shirts sprinkled throughout this building and the other building. Behind every shirt, there is a story. Be kind of cool one day if you ask somebody who had an orange shirt on, what's your story? Behind every shirt, there is a story of sacrifice and selflessness. You know, I can remember when I was 25 years old. In the year 2003, I was 25 years old, and I had just given my life to Christ. I had just said yes to Jesus. And shortly after that, I was in church, just like this. And somebody asked me if I would like to serve in the local church. And I said, what do you want me to do? And they said, well, would you be okay with cleaning the church? If you know me, you don't want me to clean too much. That's just not my forte. But I said yes. And then what that meant was I was going to get the vacuum, and I was going to vacuum the rugs. I was going to clean the glass doors, and I was going to clean the bathroom. What it also meant, I was going to make the toilets sparkle. Now, at the time I was 25, I had it all together, so I thought. I had a good job. I wore a suit and tie to work almost every day. I was making $40,000 a year. I was in like the mid five figures. I had a $400+ car note. I had the American dream. You really couldn't tell me nothing. And so here I am on weekends spending hours cleaning this church, scrubbing toilets. And there'd be times when I'd be scrubbing these toilets and I'm thinking, I'm so thankful I get to scrub toilets in God's house. I don't even do my own toilets like this. This is a toothbrush, but I didn't use a toothbrush. I don't know why I'm doing this. It feels right. And I'm scrubbing these toilets, making them sparkle, because I know that there's going to be people that don't know Jesus, and if they come to God's house and there's a dirty toilet, they might just leave. And I'm also thinking, this is an upgrade from where I have been. Scrubbing toilets in God's house was an upgrade for me. Because where I had been, what I had been doing, how nasty my thoughts and my mind used to be, how bitterness and unforgiveness used to rule my life. But Jesus died for me in my sin, forgave me. And I was so thankful, so appreciative that I get to serve in God's house and clean toilets. Now, to be honest, there were days and weeks that went by where I didn't smile so much when I was cleaning those toilets. There were times when I was thinking, you know what? Nobody's here. I'm here by myself scrubbing toilets. Nobody's going to see this. I could be at the club. I could be with my boys. I could be watching the game. I could be doing anything else besides being in God's house with nobody around scrubbing on these toilets. But that's what really hit me, is this little thought. If you got a phone, you might want to write a couple of things down. I'm going to have some decent things. And this is very simple, but it's also a little profound. Serving is not about us. When you serve God, it has nothing to do for you. There was no public declarations of how great and sparkly the toilets were. Nobody came out of the toilets shaking my hands. Well done, toilet washer. See, when you realize serving God's not about you, it's kind of like when you have a baby. For all of you who have been parents and you have a child, you realize very quickly, even before the baby is born, that life about you is gone. It's not about you anymore. Nobody asks about you once you have the baby or while your wife is pregnant, I have found out. They ask questions like, how's your wife feeling? Which is code for, is the baby okay? They say, and when the baby comes, they say, let me hold the baby. They don't even look at you in the eye anymore. They have this laser focus on this little human that just throws up and poops on itself. They say, how's the baby doing? How many pounds was the baby when it was born? Do you have any need for clothes for the baby? Let me smell the baby. It's not about you anymore. Just get used to that if you're going to have babies anytime soon. You know, I also found out that the wedding day is not about the groom. If you've ever had a wedding and you're the groom, you found out very quickly that the wedding day is all about who? The bride. Think about everything is geared around her. When she walks in the room, everybody stands up. Nobody stood for me. I'm sitting there like an idiot. Hope she walks out. And then as soon as she comes out, what else happens? This fancy music comes on just for her. What about when she walks down the aisle? Sometimes they have this fake carpet thing that she walks down just for her. And what happens at the end of the wedding and the party starts? She gets to throw the bouquet and everybody gets happy. And what does the groom get? He gets a piece of what? Her stuff to throw. It's not about us at all. And you realize God gives us these little glimpses these little scenarios in life to realize that most of life is not about you. Now, we live life like it's about us, don't we? But when we start serving God, it's really not about us anymore. See, saying yes to God means that you may not even know what you're saying yes to. It means that you don't have to know everything. You're going to have an opportunity in just a little bit to say yes to something God is asking you to do. I truly believe that when you become part of a church, you attend church on a regular basis. For whatever reason, there's hundreds of great churches in the city of Clarksville. For whatever reason, you're here. I believe it's not by accident. For whatever reason, you didn't choose Clarksville, Clarksville chose you. That sounds like a campaign, doesn't it? For whatever reason, you're here and God placed you in this place and He has something that He wants you to do in this place. You may not get, by saying yes, any personal rewards. You know, there's another man in the Bible I want to bring your attention to. It's in Isaiah chapter 6. There's this guy named Isaiah, and he had this amazing encounter with God. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. He's been transcended into heaven. Now, this is amazing. Isaiah goes into heaven. He sees the wonder, the splendor, the majesty of heaven. And he hears things in heaven. He actually hears the voice of God in heaven. Let's just read this for a second. This is in verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Now you imagine, tens of thousands of angels, golden robes, the majesty of heaven is all there. And this man named Isaiah, he's in the middle of all this. Think about how insignificant he feels. Think of the awesomeness of God. It's like if you've ever sat on the edge of the beach and you looked at the horizon of how big and you feel so small. Or you've been at the Rocky Mountains and you're caught up with how grand it is. That pales in comparison to being in the throne room of God. And this man is here. Think about how ill-equipped he is to even be there. He even says in a different place in that passage, he says, "I am a man of unclean lips amongst a people of unclean lips." That's how I feel sometimes. And God says, "Who will go for me?" Essentially, who's going to say yes? And Isaiah said, "Here I am. Send me." See, sometimes saying yes to God means that you're not going to feel like you've got it all together, like you're not all cleaned up. I used to have, my nephew used to say this a lot. He said, "Uncle," he said, "I'll go to church when I get cleaned up." Anybody ever heard that before? What happens? They don't get cleaned up, do they? All of us in here are not 100% cleaned up. And God is still calling for us. See, the greatest reward in serving, I really do want you to write this down. The greatest reward in serving is also another simple thought, but really perplexing. The greatest reward in serving is that I get to do something. I get to do something for the one who did everything for me. I get to do something. You know, serving is an interesting thing. A lot of you guys are very intelligent. A lot of you guys have more degrees than a thermometer. A lot of you guys have great jobs. You just got that. Heard that over there. Come on, Juan, I heard you. Some of you guys have fantastic jobs, military careers, and you know what to do in your job, and you're really skilled at it. And sometimes we come into church and we don't see how could my skills and my job translate into what I can do for the kingdom of God. And I just wanted to challenge that line of thinking right now. The greatest reward in serving God is you get to do something. That something might look different than somebody else. There are endless numbers of things that you can do at one church. Endless numbers of things. I guarantee trash is going to be left after this day is over. There's going to be some trash in this room. Somebody could have picked it up. Just like cleaning toilets. Some of the most menial things give God so much glory. Who would have thought changing some little child's nasty diaper could bring glory to God? The greatest reward in serving is I get to do something for the one who did everything for me. Vince is going to come up and he's going to give us some opportunities today that you may not get any glory for. You may not get any that-a-boys or accolades. Most likely, Bethel will not get a plaque for you with your name on it. People may not even see how you sacrifice and selflessly serve the house of God. But we're not doing it for us anyway, are we? We do it for Him. Amen.
Let's give Pastor Richard a round of applause. Thank you so much. What a great word this morning. As Pastor Richard said, my name is Vince, and I serve as our guest services director here. You know, it can be really easy to hear a message like this and to agree with everything in it, but then leave here and never actually apply anything to our lives. What our goal on Sunday morning, though, is that you, as a disciple of Jesus, would be transformed. And in order for that to happen,